A long time ago, a bunch of friends liked the same stuff, as friends do, and they wanted to share their stuff with the world. They started to listen to podcasts on the internet and didn't like a thing they heard. So they decided to do their own podcast, and that's when they came up with...
The Electric Circus.
That's right, The Electric Circus. Podcast with news and reviews of your favorite games, comics, cosplay, cons, and more. So coming to you live from the basement at the Arcade Archives in the Temple of the 80s are your hosts, Ray Gunn and UberNerd527.
Hey, Arcaders! It's Ray Gunn, and it's UberNerd527. And welcome to a little something we like to call the Electric Circus. The show you like to listen to because we know what we're talking about and you want to listen to everything we say.
Well, at least the most important
thing. Well, we try. Anyway, welcome to our podcast. We're going to try to do these at least once a month. This one being for July-ish, I guess. We're at the end of June, beginning of July. Yeah, something like that. Well, at least it's summer-ish, right? Especially with the weather outside right now. So anyway, let's get right into it. We're going to do a little something we like to call email.
Congratulations, Skippy. You've got mail.
Okay, gang, let's check some emails. Just remember, if you have any emails or any requests, please post it at electriccircuspodcast@gmail.com. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, UberNerd has our first email.
Yeah, I have it on our handy-dandy electronic device here. The first one is actually from a guy named Kevin.
Okay.
He says, why is your show called The Electric Circus?
Ah, that's a very good question, Kevin. Actually, it was something I wanted to bring up in the last podcast, but we were yammering and jammering for so long, I completely forgot to. It comes from an old event that happened way back in the 80s. You probably, if you saw the movie Chasing Ghosts, it is a direct quote from that movie, actually. If you haven't seen Chasing Ghosts, let me go over the synopsis really quick. Basically, it was about the history of the Twin Galaxies scoreboard, and more so about the players that would keep these high scores, these massive high scores. And during the film, you find out, okay, all these guys have these huge high scores, and they were on That's Incredible, and it was a wonderful thing. And they were at the top of their game, and it happened just before the video game crashed. Well, somebody had come up with this brilliant idea in, I believe it was in Boston, and he had this idea of putting on an event that would bring in all these high-score game players, and they would compete with other people, real people like you and me, to see who would get the high scores. And he called the event the Electric Circus. Now, what made it so dubious? It only happened for 1 week. Yes, this was actually supposed to happen around the country. It was supposed to travel all over the place, and everybody's going to be... It only lasted 1 week. And in honor of that event and the people who create the high scores, I decided when I wanted to do a podcast, I wasn't going to call it the Arcade Archives podcast. It would kind of be, you know, I wanted something unique and spectacular. And when I saw the movie, I said it has to be the Electric Circus. So that's why I called it the Electric Circus. It was really just an honor to them. So that's why it's called the Electric Circus. It is a part of the Arcade Archives, but it's called the Electric Circus. So confusion has been lifted from everybody. I know the veil of the mystic veil of the confusion has gone away now, hasn't it?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Must have been anyways.
Okay.
The one part we can see. All right. So I'm going to bring up this next question for you because I think this question is for me. Go ahead.
Let's take a look at it. Now, again, these are coming in from our email address. So let's take a look at what we've got here. Okay. This one comes from Kayla in Greenville, South Carolina. It says, I love the Tales from the Game Grid. You know what? I have to admit, it's pretty awesome. I wanted to know the process of how you make a comic. Also, is there a way to get a daily or weekly comment? Sorry about the linking. Kayla, it's okay. That was not linky at all. We've gotten some that are extremely long and convoluted, so you were just fine. So this is for Kayla. Kayla wants to know, what do you think about the Game Grid and what's the process? This is UberNerd's baby, so I'm going to let him answer. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, Tales from the Game Grid is a basically a monthly comic that I put on the site.
Right.
Basically, it's a what-if comic. I throw what-if questions into a computer, and it spits this out and stuff like that. So
okay.
Usually what I'll do is I'll get an idea, I'll draw it, and then come up, put it up on the web for everyone to see it. Right. it was a really great experience so far. I know that a lot of people really liked the cartoon that was put up on YouTube.
It was amazing.
You'll be seeing more of Brad the Surfing Pikachu.
One of my favorites, so I hope so. He's amazing.
And you don't even, you're not even a big fan of Pokemon, so that's even
better. Well, you know, the thing I have to say, the thing I like about Tales from the Game Grid is it's a mashup of everything video game culture, whether it's as old as I am or right up to date. And it brings in not just the perspective of that character, but you put such a twist on it. That's what makes it amazing. Like, one of my favorites was the whole Charlie Brown as Ash. And I've always said that would be a great T-shirt, and I'm with it. And the same thing with Brad. I think that's just a very unique character, and it's an honor to have that on the site, my friend. And
right.
I thank you very, very much for bringing that every week or every month or, you know, when you bring it in. It's pretty amazing.
Well, as for a daily comic, unfortunately, because of my work schedule, it's kind of hard to make a daily comic.
Right.
However, we do have a fan page on Facebook.
No.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we do.
Facebook.com/TalesFromTheGameGrid.
Yep.
And people can go up there, and I try to put up a post every day. They can comment on different things that I post, or maybe even give some opinions, maybe some suggestions for comics that they'd like to see.
Right.
You know, I also try to throw up some background on some...
I love when you do just like a small clip. Like you'll show that little tiny piece, and I love how sometimes you'll cut it right down to just a single character.
Right.
And you have to figure out what's going on. And I think that's really ultimately what entices people too, is the fact that you are involving them and making them kind of think about what's coming up next. And that's really been, I think, what's a home run with Tales from the Game. But that and the fact that you started a fan page, which I think really brought people up to speed with what you're doing. And I think it's an amazing little comic that you do, and it's an honor that it's on the Arcade Archive website.
Yeah,
so.
And just recently we hit 50 likes. We actually hit 25 likes in the first hour that it was up.
Yeah, I know.
Which was amazing. Unfortunately, we didn't hit 50 likes until 2 months later, but still, it's pretty good, and I'm very excited about where it's going. And stuff like that. So if you're a big fan of the show, of the cartoon, or the comic, actually, if you're a big fan of the comic, please go on the website, like it, share it to your friends. I really would like to get the word out for that, okay?
I think it's amazing, and continued success with the comic. I think it's amazing, and it's an honor that it's on our site.
Oh, thank you. So. All right, let's see the next question there,
okay.
Ray. I'm going to bring
Pass
it up on
over
me.
The magic iPhone that is looking at our emails
there
as we go. Speak.
Okay, this one is from Jimmy Gabson, and I'm sorry if I said your name wrong. He's from New Jersey, and he says, why is there a blue ribbon on the site?
Ooh. This one, folks, is going to be a little bit of a touchy subject. Why is there a blue ribbon on the site? Well, it's something I didn't want to talk about for a long period of time, last few months. In February, I was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And again, it was one of those personal things that I felt I wasn't going to bring up. But as time progressed and I started going through the process, I felt that, you know, at least I could put a ribbon on the page indicating that I support colon cancer research. First and foremost, I just want to let everybody know, diagnosed in February, went into surgery mid-March, it was about 2 or 3 weeks after diagnosis. They removed the tumor, the lymph nodes, and about a foot of my colon. Since 2 lymph nodes were cancerous, and most people don't understand the process, but if lymph nodes are cancerous, that's the process of having to go to chemo because they want to repel anything that might be left over. Again, it was removed. As far as they know, there is no cancerous anything, but the chemo is a necessary process that I have to go through, and I don't wish it on my worst enemy. I've said to people, I think it was worse than the cancer was. It's been a very tough process. I've lost a lot of the energy I had for, which is, again, why I stopped posting for quite a while. You know, my posts become very few and far between. It's because of this. But I knew I was sick for quite a while, which brings up my other point. Listen, if you're out there and you feel like, you know, you're not sure if you're sick or if you think you're sick or you don't think you're sick at all, get tested. It takes 15 minutes of your life. Go get a colonoscopy. They knock you out now. You're not awake through the process. Get tested. It's very, very important. Polyps turn into cancer. It's that simple. It's hereditary. It does have something to do with diet, but 90% of it is hereditary and can be detected and taken care of before it becomes a problem. My problem was I didn't look at the signs until it was too late. Okay? Doesn't mean I'm going to drop dead, okay? It just means that right now I am sick and I'm going through the process of chemo. I will say this. I'm scheduled for 12 treatments. I'm at treatment number 5 now. In fact, a week from today I'll have treatment 6. It's every other week. I'm at my halfway point as of next week. My chemo process will end in September, and then I wait and see what happens. So again, all my arcaders out there, I want you guys to take this as serious as you can. Get out and get checked. I don't care if you're young, old, whatever. Colonoscopy is not a big deal. Cancer is a big deal. It changes your life. It changes your outlook. It changes your family dynamic. Everything about your life is altered. You do not want this. You do not want what I'm going through right now. Please get checked. But just to let you guys know, I am doing fine. I'm okay. Again, the process has been tougher than the outlook, or the prognosis of what they found. Chemo is a very, very difficult thing to deal with. I've lost a lot of my appetite. Nothing tastes right. I feel sick most of the time. I'm tired most of the time. I haven't given up work, though. I work full-time still down at Disney. But this is a really hard thing. And I just wanted to put the ribbon up there to let people know, you know, that this is a serious thing. I didn't want to necessarily tell people, but I got to a point where I said, you know what, maybe I should say something. And I was going to do it on the site, but obviously when an email comes in and somebody's questioning, obviously they know something's wrong and other people have too. My new phrase in life, ain't nothing to it but to do it. And that's what it's all about. I focus every day on my life, and I'm moving forward. So don't worry, arcaders, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going through the process right now. So if you notice that there's fewer and fewer posts, and a lot of them are things like, you know, I'm doing the how to beat video games and things like that, small things, that's why. It's just, you know, when I'm going through the process, I don't do anything, and then my time off, I do start feeling better. So until I start feeling better, you know, hopefully by Christmas things will start to improve, and I'll be better. But don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I have other plans right now, and that involves my family, and that involves all of you, and making sure this site stays alive. So, you know, just hang in there, and I'm fine. So don't worry. And Uber Nerd knows that. You know, he's known since day one. So, you know. But that's it. That's why.
All right. Awesome. Let's move on to the next question.
Okay.
Shall we?
Yes, we will. Let's take a look at what the next one is. Okay, this one comes in from Lynchburg, Tennessee. A guy named Marty. He says, "Dear Electric Circus Crew or Arcade Archives Crew, I love playing Mario Kart 8. And I found out there was a TTG Cup, like the Tales of Gingrich, the day after it was over. Are you going to do another one?"
All right. We'll talk about the Tales from the Game Cup. That was kind of an experiment to kind of see, to kind of gauge if people would be excited. And actually, there was a lot of people that joined it. So we're very excited about that. Yes, hopefully soon there will be one. I'm also hoping that we get to do a Arcade Archives Cup. That would be awesome.
Absolutely.
Maybe an Archive Cup or Arcades Cup.
Yeah, something like that.
So if you're a fan, keep your eyes peeled. Either you can subscribe to the Twitter accounts, or you can go on the website, and we'll be posting that up as well. So we're very excited about that. And with that, I think our emails are done, right?
I'm checking right now. Emails. Yeah, right now we have nothing else up. But again, during the podcast, feel free to email us and let us know what you think or what we should be doing.
Awesome.
So let's take a look at what we're going to do next, shall we?
All right.
We are going to talk about, oh, site news.
Ooh, site news.
Well, as far as site news, first thing I want to do is introduce, well, she's not here, of course. I wish she was, so she could talk about herself. I think she's brought a lot to the table, but you might have noticed there's a lot of new content on the website, and that is due to a girl by the name of Raven Heather, and she has brought a lot to the table. She's going to be bringing in stuff like, as you've seen, a lot of product demonstration, t-shirts and other things like that. Geek fashion, as they call it, I guess, nowadays. She also is going to be getting into cosplay events, and she's also she's going to be doing conventions. She did Spooky Empire last month, I think it was.
Yes.
And she's going to continue to do that. So she's bringing a lot to the table. And again, the Arcade Archives was a site of kind of a labor of love for me, kind of a scrapbook, if you will, of my history. But as time came around and things evolved, I said I wanted more people to get involved in the site. You know, and guys like Uber Nerd came into the mix and did their own thing. And we were still missing little pieces, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And, you know, Raven Heather also worked at Disney with me, and she had a lot to offer. So I said, you know what, maybe it's time to really start upping the ante and changing things up a bit and talking more about the things other geeks like us like, and not just video games, but really encompass everything. And she brings a lot of that to the table. So we want to welcome Raven Heather to our family. And again, she's done an amazing job. As you can tell, she's got several different articles that she does. One is spoiler alert, so she's doing all the movie reviews. She's doing product reviews. She's doing events, cosplay, and otherwise. So she's bringing a lot to the table as much as everybody else is. So she's done an amazing job. She's helped definitely bring our numbers up, which has been fantastic. So I really want to welcome her to the site. That's the big news, I think. Other than that, we're going to be doing a lot of changes to the site to reflect that. So keep an eye out for that in the next few months to come. As I said earlier, as I start to feel better, there's going to be other reviews, one of which is something that's been long overdue, is a review, or I should say just a write-up on a project that I'm doing called Lasercade. That'll be coming up. And then some of the other reviews that I promised early on, as I started getting sick, I kind of put the back burner. Those will be popping up as well. Of course, you've got the king, Uber Nerd, over here, who's going to continue with the games of Tale of the Game Grid. That's going to be happening more often. we're also working on products of our own, you know, so things are starting to move around, so really just keep an eye on the site. Things are going to be changing. Don't worry about it. We're going to tighten things up, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We're also working on our first forum, so you guys will actually be able to post your likes, dislikes, comments, and other things on our forum. As soon as it's set up, that information will be posted on the site immediately. We're working on a forum provider right now. As soon as it's done, that'll go live, and you guys can go crazy there.
And if you have any suggestions, you should probably send it to our email account too.
Absolutely. Any suggestions whatsoever, email account. Also, you know, always remember, folks, you can comment on the site directly. A lot of times it's easier for us to look at it that way right now as well. The way the site's set up, it's a lot easier for us to look at those comments. So please, please, please keep those comments coming in, and you know, support what we're doing. Same thing with the YouTube. Anything YouTube, please like and comment and let people know we're out there. This is, again, a labor of love for us, and we're really enjoying what we're doing. We really need to hear some feedback, so let us know what we're doing, and thank you for that. And I think that's site news.
All right, site news.
Now, the next little thing we're going to talk about is a little segment we like to call What Are You Currently Playing?
What am I currently playing?
Hey, what are you currently playing?
So,
let's talk about what we're currently playing. What are you playing over there, Renard?
Well, obviously you're playing Mario Kart.
I like to call it Luigi Death Star Racing.
I have to say, Mario Kart, probably one of the best Mario Karts since Double Dash. Double Dash was my last favorite one. I wasn't too hip on Mario Kart Wii.
Yeah.
It wasn't a change-up. It didn't really do much for it. So I wasn't a big fan of it. But Mario Kart 8 is definitely a change-up. It feels like playing, almost like playing Mario Kart 64 again. It's really nice. I love the gravity, the physics. I love that it records everything you do and then you can post stuff on YouTube. I really love how that just comes out. So, and that's why we're also trying to do the Mario Kart tournaments as well, because it's really easy to set up online and anyone can make a tournament if they want, you know. And I know a lot of people have done tournaments, including one of my favorite personalities, Jay Witz, on YouTube. He did both a live stream and a tournament, which I actually got to be a part of that, so that was kind of neat. So yeah, big shout out to Mario Kart 8.
That, you know what's funny? I think that is what we're going to get into later on too. I think this is the game changer for the Wii U.
Well,
I think it's massive. Between the online play, which is spectacular, the graphics are amazing, and then of course the Wii U Death Star. I'm sorry.
I was watching a video on YouTube about kids' reactions to the Death Star.
I have seen that.
One of the things they put up was, I believe, and I'm probably wrong, so you can look it up on the internet and yell at me later, but they said that it changed the Wii U sales to like 400 million copies?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Well, it's the power of Luigi. I've always said Luigi's the man.
He's just angry because his year's over and it's not his year anymore.
No, it's always the year of Luigi. It's always going to be the year of Luigi.
Anyways, let's move on. Pokey Park 2 is another game I'm playing.
What's this all about?
Okay. So, I'm a big Pokemon fan, if you don't know. Really big Pokemon fan. By the way, just a little aside, I am currently playing the Pokemon trading card game online.
Okay.
So, you can probably verse me on there if you'd like. I'm also on Pokemon Showdown as UberNerd527.
Okay.
So, if any Pokemon trainers out there, you want to fight me, more than welcome to. You'll probably kick my butt.
You want to fight, pal? You want to fight?
You're more than welcome to join me. But anyways, so I've heard about Poke Park. I've heard a lot of different things.
Right.
All right, Poke Park, for those of you who don't know, it's very, very much a very, very kid-friendly version of Zelda.
Okay.
You get to actually play as Pikachu.
Okay.
And three other characters from the black and white version of Pokemon. And basically, you go around this park and try and save it. You actually fight Pokemon in 3D. It's a really exciting game. I highly enjoyed it. I wish there were some things different about it. But it's a game for kids, so I can't get too mad at it. Believe this or not, though, the first game is super hard to find. And the first game is still $60 used.
Yikes.
Used. This game was only 40.
That's crazy.
The second game was only 40, but still, that's crazy for a used game at GameStop.
Yeah.
Crazy. So, it's very hard to find, but I highly suggest if you're a Pokemon fan, if you also like kind of a Zelda kind of vibe to it, it has that. You can free roam, run around as the Pokemon characters, and stuff like that. So, that's really enjoyable. All right, what do we have next?
Let's see.
Fly Cat Bug Fly. Alright, so Fly Cat Bug Fly is a game based on a web series called Bravest Warriors.
Oh, I've now, seen that.
Yes. For those of you who don't know what Bravest Warriors are, Bravest Warriors was created by the same guy who created Adventure Time. It's a online YouTube-only cartoon.
Right.
They just got finished with Season 2. I would kind of say it was a more teenage version of Adventure Time.
Yeah, I would say that.
Definitely not for the kids.
Absolutely not.
For the kiddies.
Yep.
definitely more for the adults. But they have a character, his name is Catbug. And he is voiced by a 7-year-old kid.
Yep.
And it's the coolest thing ever.
Now, I have a question about this whole 7-year-old kid. What happens, like, when, you know, he starts growing facial hair and doesn't sound like a little kid anymore? Are they going to have to recast Catbug?
Probably.
That's a scary thought.
Yeah, that is a scary thought. But for now...
You know, if Catbug keeps on going, 10 years from now, it's not going to be, yo, I'm Catbug, look at me. I'm the Catbug guy.
You kind of sound like Catbug has worked out.
That's
know?
Right.
You live, bro.
I'm Catbug. Look at me, I'm a cat, I'm a bug, I can't figure it out here.
And now he's from New York.
That's
okay.
Right.
Anyways, this game is an infinite flying game, basically. So what you do is you play as Catbug.
Right.
And you try to grab all these items that are floating around.
Uh-huh.
And you try to put them into a portal, and that gives you money. So you're trying to fly around this, basically, like, maze.
Right.
And you can get power-ups. Like, you can actually summon other characters from the show. You can also get powers to help you out. And then you can also purchase costumes for Catbug. So you can do all kinds of, like...
Catbug's going to wear clothes?
Yes,
Catbug. Oh, where's my wallet? I need to buy this game.
My Catbug is actually gold with a police sunglasses and a sombrero. Because that makes sense.
I want to make him look like a break dancer. Can I make him, like, put him in, like, a red sweatsuit?
Are we talking, like, now break dancer?
No, we're talking, like, 1984 red sweatsuit. And then I want him to have, like, a piece of cardboard. And I want him to do the helicopter because he's got that Catbug shell. He can spin around really fast.
What about 90s break dancers?
Well, then he'd have to have, like, the clock on his chest. Yo, yo.
Backwards pants.
Backwards.
Those were popular for a week.
Backwards pants.
That's
right. Hey, give him balloon pants, make him MC Hammer.
Alright.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I know Mario and Mario Sunshine did that, but that's
yes,
okay.
That's right.
Anyways, so what are you currently playing, right?
Oh, gosh, I'm playing something new and wonderful.
What is that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, like I was talking to you earlier, I'm going to be talking about a little project later on as I get it completed, and we've started videotaping the process of a project called Laser Cave. LaserCade essentially plays classic LaserDisc-based arcade games. And for those little ones that have played a laser game before...
LaserDisc.
Laser!
That was like the best media thing ever was a LaserDisc. Those things were bigger than records.
They were, man. I have them. No, LaserDisc games, they were a LaserDisc. LaserDisc was about the size of an album.
Oh,
yada,
man,
yada,
it was
yada.
Bigger than
yeah,
an album.
Yeah, it was a, you know, like
it
an LP.
Pretty big thing.
It was a big LP. And you stuck it in a machine. It had a laser, and it would read the disc, and then the information would be sent to the monitor, and then the computer would basically be the game itself. And, you know, if you got a right move, it was right. If you got a wrong move, it would show you a death scene, yada, yada, yada. That's how it worked.
Not a
anyway,
death stare.
Right, not a death stare. Luigi would not appear on the screen and give you a look. Okay?
Oh, yeah?
No.
Well, for right. Those of you who can't see, because this is audio only, Ray has just given me the death stare.
That's right.
Which is actually not a death stare, because you have to be angry.
I think the death stare looks like... You ever seen the hamster video on YouTube?
Yes, yes, yes. Right.
That's the death stare. That's
the oh,
game.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Oh, the,
that's
you know,
right.
I think it was a gopher, actually.
It was a gopher or whatever it was. He was really angry that the guy
this
was there.
Dramatic gopher.
That's
I love that.
Right.
That thing always gets me every
it
time.
It freaked me out, but that's the least... But anyway, so what I'm doing is a project called LaserCade. It's going to play... I believe when I'm done about 14 or 15 classic LaserDisc arcade games. And my game I'm playing right now is a game on the LaserCade, which I have in my computer, not in the cabinet yet, but it's a game called Super Don Quixote.
Oh.
Super Don Quixote, that's
is
right.
It, is this like a sequel to the book?
Don no, it has absolutely nothing to do with it at all except for the name.
Okay.
Although Pancho is in the game and the donkey, and that's pretty much it. Everything else is different. A little history about Super Don Quixote. It was done in 1984. Well, it was released in 1984 by a company called Universal. For those of you that may be into classic arcade games, know about Mr. Do and Space Panic and games like that. These were done by a company called Universal. And in the height of the laser craze that was going on in the early 80s, in 83 and say 84-ish, a lot of people were cranking out these games. Well, Universal had this wonderful idea, and they said, we're going to do a laser game, but we're going to do a laser game system, okay? And basically what that meant back then is you had one cabinet, multiple games that you could put in it, and all you had to do is change out the ROMs, put in a new wave disc, new header, you're good to go. The first game on the list that was to be released for this system was called Super Coyote, and then they had a whole list of other ones that I wish came out, but of course, what happened? The video game crashed. So then none of them were released. And there's always been speculation whether or not the animation was done, so... You know, but they had games like Space Dracula, Adventure Mr. Do, which I was really excited to see because I thought Mr. Do was a really cool arcade game character. To see him in a latest game would have been really cool. But the only one we got was Super Don Quixote. And basically, Super Don Quixote is nothing more than a Japanese version of Dragon's Lair. That is it. Instead of Dirt, you have Don. He comes out and is Esmeralda, his girlfriend, is kidnapped by the witch. You now have to go after him. What makes this game unique, I think, a couple of things. First off, you're not isolated in a castle. This game takes place through several different lands, really bizarre stuff going on, and then you end up at the castle of the witch and you get the computer, yada yada yada. So it's much more broad than Dragon's Lair was. Because remember, Dragon's Lair was the first. So it's established a pattern. Don Quixote kind of took it over and made it larger than that. Another thing on the technical aspect that was really interesting is the game worked differently as far as the way the disc played. When Dragon's Lair was released, what would happen is this: on the disc, and all you have to do is watch it, the scene would unfold, and then after the scene were the subsequent death scenes that would happen in that scene. Okay? And that was for every scene in the game. Well, the problem with that is the disc player had to work 10 times harder because now it had to scan every single time you had a death to that death scene and then back to the scene and start over. So a lot of the players had problems because of that. Universal kind of resolved that problem by doing a move, doing a death. Doing a move, doing a death. So if you watch the disc, you couldn't watch it because it jumped so quickly from moment to moment, not just scene to scene, that's impossible to watch. But if you're playing it, it's fluid. And it actually added life to the player because that scene was right there. It didn't have to jump across the back end and then back up. It was boop, and it worked out really well for the game. It also incorporated, which a lot of people didn't like, I wouldn't call it like a cheat mode because it was there all the time, but it would actually show you the move.
Huh.
So what would happen is if Don had to jump right to avoid, say, an arm coming out of the ground, an arrow pointing right, which would appear, and that's when you hit that, and then there would be a button if you had to use a sword. It didn't make it any easier, believe me. The game is probably 10 times harder than Dragon's Lair because the moves are very fast with the way it's set up. And I like the story. I think it's really cool that they kind of made a fresh story about this guy rescuing the girl. He's not a knight, he's just a do-gooder, and he goes out and rescues this girl from a witch. On the graphic side, it's a bit more violent than Dragon's Lair. It does show like pretty visual death scenes, you know. I mean, but they're cartoonish, so it's not like, you know, like you're watching a graphic horror movie. But it is, you know, it's a bit more graphic than the Dragon's Lair showed.
It is anime.
It was done by a Japanese animation company. I don't remember which one. I have to look at this. It doesn't really show you on the game itself. Like, the credits come up, it doesn't say anything, but it was on the original LaserDisc. But it was animated very well. What made it really interesting is they tried to make the main character as American as they could, so he didn't have the big anime eyes. They tried to actually model him after Dirk. So he has a big nose, his eyes are, you know, smaller, you know, he doesn't wear the helmet and all that, so, you know, but they tried to Americanize him as much as possible. Everything else is anime. Everything in the game is anime. Yeah. But he looks very different than the rest of the game.
Dirk has always looked like that one guy in... You remember Disney's Sword and Stone?
Yes. Well, there's a reason for that. You know why?
Guy. Yeah.
You know why? Because Don Bluth was, I believe, the director on that movie.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's why. The influence, of course, you can watch that in just the animation. The times when Don Bluth was there, you could see his animation style. He's very fluid. His hands were always amazing to look at. Like,
right.
He draw a really good hand, a really good foot. Facial features and reactions were just very different than the norm that you saw at Disney, so that explains why.
Right.
But, yeah, so...
Did they probably recycle maybe some character model sheets?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. That game was completely original from the ground up, and we can go into that a whole... That whole could be a whole podcast by itself. it's an amazing story. But if you could go online and look at that. But anyway, okay. about Super Don. Again, it's a harder game, a little bit longer than Dragon Slayer, I think. It's a well-rounded laser game. It plays really, really well, and the port over to the computer was done very well. It plays on a Daphne emulator. If you don't know anything about the Daphne emulator, you can go to Daphne.com, and they will tell you all about it. It is a great little emulator, and the game is really, really good, so I highly recommend. If you haven't played it yet, and you have a chance to play it, play Super Don.
Awesome.
So that is our...
That's our What We're Playing segment.
Okay. Sounds good?
Yeah. All right, for our next segment, we're going to talk about E3. Now, Ray, do you know a little bit about history for those of you who don't, people who don't know about E3?
I know very little about E3. I grew up in the time that we had now I've lost my memory again. That's what happens when you don't have email. There was an expo years ago. They still put it on, but that is primarily now for electronics, specifically. Very little to do with gaming, and that's when they used to show their wares. Nowadays, it's the E3. I've seen it on G4 back in the day. I understand that it's quite large and they show everything, but that's about all I know about it. All
right. Well. I know for me, it's like one of those big, like, what's coming up next for the rest of the year, you know, kind of deals. So, so E3 happened, because it happens every year.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what? I really want to go out in here and say this. I think Nintendo won this year. And they needed to.
I you know what's funny? I think you're right on target. And honestly, from what I saw of it, people were concerned because they weren't going to be there. Just like I think last year they weren't there either, were they?
No.
People were very concerned that they weren't going to be there this year, and I think they really pulled the rabbit out of the hat and said, "So here it is," because everybody was so concerned. At the beginning of the year, fiscally, Nintendo wasn't looking very good. Things were going downhill. Thinking about mobile apps, crap like that. Well, I think Nintendo just said, "In your face. Here's what we have. Check this out." And I think what they did was really smart. They kind of leaked a little bit here and there about a month or two before with the figures and all that. And then it was a home run when they did their little presentation online. And the best part, there was no crowds to deal with. It was just one-on-one with the loyal fans. And I appreciate and admire that they
did. Did you see the picture of Miyamoto with the playing
yes.
Mario Maker with kids.
Yes, I did.
That was awesome.
Yep. That was another one that really impressed me too. Is some people had gotten some shots of the E3 floor, and it was just like little subtle things that were kind of blurry, and you saw a sign that said Mario Maker. And that was like 2 days, I think, before the event started, and people already knew what it was. Mm. And to me, that was like, that's Nintendo. That's what they like doing. And I think the problem is E3 has gotten so convoluted and so full of stuff that really doesn't matter that their core audience is kind of being lost in all that stuff that they have to sort through, which is really what happened to the Consumer Electronics Show, which is what I had a brain fart about 5 minutes ago. That's why E3 shot off, because Consumer Electronics Show became this convoluted mess of technology. Games were being overlooked, and that's where they said, okay, we need a separate event for games. That's where E3 came up back in the mid-90s or whenever it started. So I think that's what's happening with E3 now. It's evolved so far that there's too much stuff. And I think Nintendo saw that coming a couple years ago, and then having the problems with the Wii U, they decided to step back, take a deep breath like they always do, and they knocked it out of the park this time. I knew it would happen.
I really think the other thing that really I think Nintendo did well this year was the Smash Brothers tournament.
Absolutely.
I think that was a great, great idea. Show off the new game, get people excited, because people are already excited for this game. And they're going to buy it. But get people even more excited for it.
I'm already in line for it. I don't know if you know that, but I'm not actually here right now. It's a hologram. I'm standing in front of Best Buy right now for the next 6 months, waiting patiently for my Smash Brothers.
I was wondering what that tent was in front of
me. Exactly. That's me, and I'm ready. I'm waiting.
Okay. All right. So one of the other things I wanted to talk about real quick is not very many 3DS games.
Yeah, that
Nintendo
was...
Nintendo didn't focus on that,
no,
did they?
No, well, and I think for good reason. The 3DS is a cash cow.
Yeah.
They knew that out of the gate. Every handheld they've ever done has always made money for them.
Right.
So they know that market's not going anywhere.
Right.
What they're concerned about is this Wii U.
Right.
You know, do I think the Wii U is a step backward in technology? Only from the sense that really its processor is pretty much the same as the Wii. So in a sense, yes. As far as the next-gen console, they really kind of stepped backward instead of stepping forward. What they focused on was the technology and the touchpad and all that, and that's great. And the fact that it finally was HD was even better. But they realized, we've got to step up. This is not a situation where we need to focus on 3DS. We really need to focus on the Wii U right now. And that's what they did. They nailed it out of the park. They said, here's the list of what we've got. And I think that's what sold it. Now, one other thing that I think would be worth mentioning here, and somebody else has brought it up, and I'm not sure what post I saw it on, but it was valid. It was actually a very valid thing to say. I think what Nintendo needs to do, and all the naysayers about third-party software, this is how they should handle it. They should step up and say, listen, we're Nintendo. This is what we sell. If third-party wants to jump on, fantastic. We're not selling third-party. We're selling the stuff you grew up with. We're selling the stuff we know you want to play. So if you want that, then we're here for you. If you don't, there's the other companies. Enjoy. I think if they stepped up and did that earlier, they'd not be in the mess they are in right now, or were in until E3.
Okay. I'm looking up E3 stuff on Google right now. So
awesome.
Hold on.
Oh, it's modern technology.
So I mean, let's talk a little bit about the 3DS games that are coming real quick. So we have, of course, my favorite, which is Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
I'm very excited.
I know you're not. That's okay.
Oh, come on. I'm trying. Give me a break with the Pokemon. I'm trying so hard to be excited about a cat that shoots lightning.
Well, actually, it's a mouse. But
okay. I'm not going to go full
Uber nerd on you right now.
I don't even know if it's a cat or a mouse. That'll sum it all up right there, folks.
So I think that's a big deal for Nintendo. I definitely think that they didn't really even do very many announcements about it. They just was like, it's coming out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they showed us a little bit of, they showed us enough of the teaser to get us all Pokemaniacs all excited about it.
And
so.
Again, I think it comes back to wanting to focus on the Wii U. They said, listen, these 3DS tiles, I mean, we could do like Nintendo Crap Simulator on the 3DS and it would sell.
Right.
They don't care. They know that that's a solid product. They don't have to focus on it. And I think it's the first time that they've done that in a few years. They realized we have an established base. If we didn't sell another 3DS, you know, or a 2DS at this point, they don't care. They've already got that market. It's like when the original Game Boy came out. Once they had those sales nailed, they didn't care if anybody else bought another Game Boy ever.
Right.
All they had to do was focus on game. And that's what they decided to do this time. They said, hey, listen, we're going to focus on this, but here are the 3DS games.
Because the only big ones that they talked about really were Smash Brothers,
right?
Pokemon,
yep.
The new one, which was called Project Steam.
Yes, I saw that, and that one actually piqued my interest. Mm-hmm.
And then I think the other one was called Fantasy Life.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And if I missed anyone, I'm sorry. If I missed.
Then there was that the one that has been piquing a lot of interest with the. Me's having their own life. Is that the one you're talking about? Right?
That's Tamagotchi Life.
That's out
already. So
yes, it is. Absolutely. And I think, but then again, that was their. I think that's their killer app for the year.
Right.
Yes. Ultimately, when you boil it down. So I mean, if they didn't sell a single other title for 3DS, that thing's already sold enough that they have nothing to worry about with the 3DS.
Uh-huh.
The 3DS is not going away. The Wii, on the other hand, is on life support.
Right,
you know, at that point. So,
and I think they kind of invigorated. All right, let's go into the Wii U games, shall we?
Okay, sure, absolutely.
Let's start off with Hyrule Warriors. I was really surprised when this was announced.
I was not surprised. I was shocked. because here you're taking established title that people have played on just about every platform,
right?
And you're reinvigorating that title alone with established characters from a Nintendo franchise. To me, that was a home run. That title alone would sell the 3DS or the 3DS. I'm sorry, folks. Like I said, chemo talking. That would sell the Wii U in a second,
yeah.
Because you have here you have an established title that people already play. You already have the Link characters, the Zelda characters. You're combining the two. You've got to win one.
Right.
So
I really am excited. I've really never played the Dynasty Warriors until days ago.
I played Dynasty Warriors on the PlayStation 2, and then, in fact, that was one of the game that sold me on PlayStation 2, and it was because all the environmental stuff they had learned to do at that point with the snow and the rain and this and that. I just liked that combat style that they had in there. So that's what I was really excited about, knowing that now we're going to have this Legend of Zelda mashup in this game. That, to me, is where Zelda needed to evolve to.
Right.
Because we've gotten to a point with Zelda that either the naysayers hate Wind Waker, and they don't like that style.
Which is a great game.
That's a phenomenal game. Are you
kidding?
Second
favorite Zelda.
That's the thing, and the naysayers hate it. And then you get the other ones that want this, you know, full screen, emotional, high def Zelda that they've always wanted, which they're going to get. But you know, of course, it's on the back burner. I think this fits the bill nicely.
Well,
I think it fits beyond nicely.
Let's quick, since we talked about it, let's quickly talk about that little teaser.
Right.
For the Zelda Wii U.
Yes, sir.
Holy crap.
That's all you can say is holy crap.
Wow.
We only got a short taste of what that's going to be. But if that is what we're getting, the Wii U has set themselves at a new level. That even, I bet you, Microsoft and Sony are saying, holy Toledo, how did they do that?
My first thought was, Dragon Age, or you guys are probably screaming out, but basically it's one of the Baldur's games, the Elder Scrolls.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So that was my first thought, and then they said, "Yeah, see that mountain in the distance? Yeah, you can go to that mountain, you can climb that mountain."
Yep.
And I'm like, "Whoa, you know, that's wow."
Well, just the environmental shots alone have been all over Facebook, all over Twitter, have been on YouTube. I mean, it's going crazy. Again, finally seeing some solid Zelda projects for the first time probably in, I would say, 10 years. Other than Wind Waker HD, of course, which is amazing in itself, and they've added a lot of fine details to that game, which I think is incredible. But to have a physical, real, tangible Zelda title, and now you're mixing in
little open world.
Yes. I just that's what people have been wanting for 10 years.
That's been since the first Zelda game.
Well,
the
ultimate,
game
yeah,
was ultimate. Technically the first Zelda game was technically an open world because you could go wherever you wanted.
It was, and it's funny because, you know, being that I'm old, okay, I bought it when it was new.
Right.
I actually got it for my birthday, I think in 88, and I just remember opening that cartridge. It was the first game that I got that I really savored and wanted to get involved in. I saw the commercials. I finally got... And I remember the box being super heavy. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's this cartridge made out of? And I open it up and there's maps and all this other stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. I remember going home, reading that map like a billion times, and reading, popping that cartridge in. And it really was open world because they had created a world. You could go wherever you wanted to. You weren't limited to, unless you were trying to go through the water or whatever.
Well, unless you had a specific...
You had a specific item.
Yeah.
But you could go anywhere you wanted to, even though you had certain tasks you had accomplished before certain things would happen. It still was open world. And people have wanted that for Zelda for a very, very long time. And now we're finally getting that.
Yeah, and that's going to be awesome.
Absolutely.
I'm very excited. They kind of even experimented with Link Between Two Worlds,
yep,
which I have to say is an awesome Zelda game,
yeah,
as well.
Yep.
So let's talk. Let's move on to Yoshi's Woolly Woods. Woolly Woods.
Yes.
Say that three times.
Yes. That's like the last Kirby title, and it's interesting because
Epic Yarn.
It has the feel of Epic Yarn, and now Kirby's going Claymation.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
reminds me of Clay Fighters.
Yes, it does.
Oh,
now,
and let me put this on the table. Epic Yarn, I love. I thought it was a great game. It was certainly a departure, not just in visual style, but the gameplay itself was very, very different than a typical Kirby game. But I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it to the point where I actually, one of the few games I actually bought a strategy guide for. I just loved playing that game. Very excited about seeing what the Yoshi game's like, because it has that same feel. The thing with Epic Yarn, it was very tangible. It's almost like you reach out and feel the felt and the yarn.
That's what
I love this. And I think that's what this looks like. And then you're going the other end with Kirby, and it feels the same way. It's like, I want to play with that clay.
Yeah.
I want to, you know. So I love what they're doing with the materials they're working with.
Right.
And I think that's really incredible.
And they were talking about in the video how they actually got real, like, knitters to knit, like, Yoshi.
I did not know
that. Yeah, they actually got them to knit Yoshi. And they would basically, like, figure out how it all worked and different stuff like that.
Right.
So, hold on. Okay, there we go. All right. All right, cool. I'm excited. I'm glad it's going to be co-op.
Yes.
And you can use each other to help, you know, get through the platformer. I think that's neat.
Yeah,
you know, you
absolutely
can, like, eat your friend and then shoot him out at one of the bad guys and, you know, stuff like that.
Well, and I think this is an important note as well. Now, listen, I loved Super Mario World. Wasn't a total fan of, you know, Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. I found the whole carrying baby Mario thing to be too much going on at one time for me. I like a difficult platformer. All I need is that one character. So in essence, I feel like Yoshi kind of got sidelined. He never had that title that was worthy of the character that he is, and now we're finally getting it.
Right, and I think it's also nice because unlike New Super Mario, you know, the new Super Mario games, like New Super Mario Wii and Wii U, you're not fighting each other to get to different places or anything like that.
Right.
You actually have to cooperate to get to different areas. So that's
absolutely
really
I think it's going to be a great title for them.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Mario Maker. So we talked a little bit about that already. I'm excited.
I was shocked. Like I said, they showed that teaser photo, and that was the first thing you're thinking. And it was all over Facebook. It's like, you're going to be able to make Mario levels. Oh, my God. And everybody thought, it's fake. It's got to be fake. There's no way that they're doing this. No way at all. But if anybody knows the history of Nintendo, especially when the NES came out, here you had games like Excitebike, Wrecking Crew. You could build your own levels. Nintendo's been known for that for almost 30 years. So for them to create this title, it was a no-brainer, and B, it was a win-win for everybody.
Right.
So I'm very excited. And just being able to switch back and forth between the old graphics and new graphics
is cool.
Amazing.
And they also put Easter eggs from Mario Paint in there, which is really cool. And I thought that was really neat. You know what? I tell you the truth. I've never actually played Mario Paint. I never got I never got a Super Nintendo until afterwards, because all I had was my Genesis.
Right.
So I never got to play Mario Paint.
I had Mario Paint for my girls because, you know, I got into the Super Nintendo about the time it came out.
Right.
And then later on, when my daughters were born, I would say probably about 97 or 98, you know, my oldest was at a point where she liked interacting with stuff, and I said, let's try Mario Paint. And I was able to get a copy, of course, pretty cheap at that point, and she loved it. And it had all these hidden little games on it with the bugs and all that stuff, and I thought that was really cool. So, I think Mario Maker is going to be the NES remix. But what I'm excited about, and I really hope they follow through with this, because Nintendo, you know how much you are with following through stuff, and sometimes it doesn't work out with you. I want to see these levels posted online so that you can download them and try them on your own.
Right.
So you're now creating an entire Super Mario game
right.
from other people's creations. I think that's going to be a big one.
And we've heard rumors that they're going to make DLC for it, and you'll be able to make versions from not only just the original 8-bit and then the new game, but also they're going to throw in like Super Mario Bros. 2 and 3 and
I'm going to tell
for all
for the record, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this because Super Mario Bros. 2 isn't really the Super Mario Bros. 2. I thought Super Mario Bros. 2 was the best out of the series because the full-on interaction of being able to pick up and throw the enemies, other objects, added an element that the other games didn't have.
Right.
And that's what I like about Super Mario Bros. 2. So if they do that,
they really got a game going.
Right.
That's going to be incredible.
And you know, that's why I also enjoy Super Mario 3D World, the Wii U, is also because the same thing. And just like I said, in that game, you're not fighting each other either, really. You're kind of trying to help each other out.
Right.
Sometimes it doesn't work all that well, but, you know. Let's talk about another very unique title, in my opinion. Because I'm an artist, as
right.
you know.
Yes,
and
we already know.
Absolutely.
And I'm really kind of excited about this. Pokemon Art Academy. Now, obviously, you already know about Pokemon.
I've heard about the Pokemon.
So, Art Academy is something that Nintendo's been trying to do for the 3DS, and they even put a version of it for the Wii.
And I have to say, the 3DS version actually is very playable, considering it's a handheld unit.
Right. Yep. So I'm kind of excited about it because it gives people an excuse to learn how to draw. And, you know, especially being Pokemon fans, you know, I'm excited about it because one of the things they said was they have levels of skill. So you have the basic ones, you have intermediate, and then you also have expert. You can go, they teach you all kinds of different lessons and stuff like that. And I think, you know, being Pokemon, it'll give me an excuse to, you know, it'll trick my brain into actually playing it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So I'm excited about that.
If you're excited about Pokemon, if it's a Pokemon up your alley, this is a great title. It really is. So yeah, it's another win-win.
And being an artist too, I mean, I got the Wii U version of Art Academy. My only complaint with the game so far is I thought it was supposed to have like lessons and stuff, but no, it's just, and it doesn't even really give you direction. It's just kind of like you just play it.
It's surprisingly because the 3DS version does have instructions.
So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm not looking in the right place. I don't know. But anyways, all right. Now,
yes,
we've saved the best for last.
I can't wait.
We have saved the very best.
If I think what I know what it is, and there's a certain yellow guy involved.
Okay. All right.
I'm pretty excited about
this. This may be a title that I don't think anyone's gonna play. I'm just gonna throw it out there though. I'm gonna throw it out.
Right.
I don't know if people play it.
It's a little thing that people may have heard of. I don't know.
Super Smash Bros.
Super Smash Bros. I can't believe it. Oh my gosh. Yes. Are you kidding?
I will have to say that probably got the biggest cheer of any of the games that Nintendo said this is coming out.
Yep.
Absolutely. And they introduced three new characters.
Yep.
Palutena from Kaitris.
Right.
They introduced the Miis.
Right.
Which now they also introduced the fact that you can change sizes now. You can make the Miis taller or shorter depending on how you want to do it.
Right.
And then you have three types of fighting. You have Swordmaster, you have Brawler, and then you have Gunner, which I think is a great idea.
Absolutely.
Really interesting idea. And then, of course, finally, Ray, the one that Ray has been waiting for.
Absolutely.
For eons and eons.
Yes.
Pac-Man.
Finally, Pac-Man is getting his due. I cannot believe it.
Well,
you know, for the longest time, I felt like, you know, Mario dominated, you know, through the 80s, through the 90s. Pac-Man kind of got sideshelved, and I really thought it was kind of a sad thing. Because here's, really, other than Space Invaders, the innovator of the industry as we know it. And just kind of got filed away. And when I heard the rumor, I said, I'll believe it when I see it. Then I saw the video. I practically lost bodily function. And then I immediately, after going downstairs and using the restroom, came back and posted the video on the Arcade Archive so everybody could see it. Because I wanted somebody to pinch me. Because it was just the most amazing news I'd heard. And what was better was they were using the classic Pac-Man, not the new one.
Yes.
And we're going to do a whole podcast on what I think of Pac-Man's evolution in the last 30 years, because I'm not a happy camper. I will tell you right now, I'm not a happy camper. But anyway, we got the classic Pac-Man, Namco's classic Pac-Man, pie-eyed, ready to go, and I love his power-ups. I'm just blown away. When I
saw
him,
Mappy's
in there too.
Yeah.
I love when he uses the flank beam from Galaga to pick up. I just was like, "Damn, that's what I want. That's what I want to see." I was blown away by that. I've been a fan of Smash Brothers. I'm not a fan of fighting games,
But this is one that I'll definitely pick up. In fact, was, you know, between NES Remix and a few of the other titles, this was the one that finally made me say, time to break down and buy a new system.
Yeah.
As anybody knows who's been in the temple of the 80s, I don't have a lot of new consoles. In fact, most of my stuff is 30 years old. I think the newest one I have, other than the Wii, of course, which my family's my Xbox, and I bought that late in the game. Because I always wait until it phases out, and then I buy all the stuff, and that's how I collect. But I'll actually buy a new system for this game. If I do that at my age, you know it's worth buying. So I can't wait to get my hands on it and do the review. But what I'm really excited about, and I think you touched base on this earlier, is the competitions they were doing with Smash Brothers.
Yes.
That they had announced that they were doing them at Best Buys, and this was going to be like a big, you know, like everybody got their hands on it, got to play it, and it was tangible. It wasn't something that, because we all know how Nintendo is, they'll show it and then it disappears.
Right.
Until they're ready. But they give you a little take. This time they actually gave you the game to play.
Right.
That was a huge haiku for Nintendo.
Right.
They blew it out of the park just in that alone.
Well, I mean, I have to say, I wasn't surprised entirely about Pac-Man, because I know Namco was developing the game.
That was the rumor that had been out for quite a while,
right.
And I agree with you, because Namco, of course, that's their cash cow.
Right, and, you know, it didn't surprise me. I knew that it was coming. When I saw Pac-Man fighting, that was like, oh my goodness, Pac-Man's fighting Mario and Sonic and Mega Man all the same time.
I think what shocked the you-know-what out of people is his powers are legit.
Yeah.
They're not just, like, made up. I mean, he has some really killer powers.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he's going to be a character that's going to dominate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's not just, oh, Pac-Man's in it, and that's cute.
I have to say, though, for those of you who are also Smash Brothers fans out there, I don't think Nintendo's done with characters. I think there's so many more characters
okay.
in this game.
And I'm going to point this out right now, because everybody knows how much I love Stanley from Donkey Kong 3. Nintendo, get off your asses and put Stanley in another damn game. Crying out loud. The poor man has been waiting around.
Not a trophy?
No, not a damn trophy. Don't give him that blue and white outfit that you gave him in the stupid trophy. I want to see him in his traditional red and blue instead of blue and red like Mario. He's reversed. And I want to see my classic Stanley in a game, because he would have killer powers. Think about it. Think about it.
Yeah.
He's got the power sprayer, for crying out loud. Sprays you in your face, you're dead. Done. Rip your head off, buddy, with that power sprayer. That's what I want to see Stanley in the game for once. I mean, we got the Game & Watch guy, for crying out loud.
You can't
pull Stanley for one thing?
He was basically confirmed. I don't care what anyone says.
Confirmed. When you see him at the end with Pac-Man, come on, give me a break.
Yeah, he's basically confirmed.
You know.
So let's move on to one more game.
Yep.
Because I do not want to forget this game. And actually, I didn't even write it down when we did the outline for the podcast.
Right.
But I should have, because I'm actually really legitimately excited about this game. And that is Splatoon.
Yes. Splatoon. And that was kind of that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Literally came out of nowhere. And I had to look twice at that game, because, like, I'm not into that type of game. But I'm like, damn, I would actually buy this. It's actually cool.
It looks really, really interesting. And
yeah.
I like it because it's an alternative to Call of Duty.
Right,
because
exactly.
Every kid plays Call of Duty. I don't know why, because the game's rated M, but they play it. So, you know.
We're not the parents.
Not the parents. But this game looks awesome, and it looks like both old school and new school people can actually get into this game. I also like that one of the things that bugs me about first-person shooters is, like, you know, you're playing online with your friend's on the other side of the map, he's like, I'm getting shot up, help me, help me, help me, and you're like, where are you, I'm trying to find you, but in this game, you can actually literally teleport right to their location.
Yes. Yep.
There's an actual button that'll bring you to the person's location. That's awesome.
I'll tell you, another thing I like about the game is the character designs.
Yes.
They have their human form, they have their squid form. I love the fact that if there's stuff on the floor, they turn to a squid, they slip through it, boom, they're faster. I think the game is going to dominate. And again, it came out of nowhere.
Right. Out
of left field. They're like, dude, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
And finally, we have a first-person shooter on the
third
Wii.
Person.
Third person.
Sorry, folks, I don't know my technical term on these wackadoo games that come out today.
I'm disenfranchised by first-person shooters, unless it's like a game like Bioshock.
Right.
Because Bioshock is a very... Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even consider it to be a first-person shooter because that it's such an interesting game. But, I mean, Call of Duty, Halo, they're a dime a dozen nowadays.
Well, yeah. And, you know, and again, it goes back to, you know, even 20 years ago, here you had Street Fighter, and then everybody had a Street Fighter game.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. It's the formula is the same, and we're going to copy it. We'll try to make it a little better by altering this or that.
Right.
But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's the same game.
Right, right.
You know?
So, I mean, I want to make sure that I put that game in there.
Now, absolutely.
Before we move on to non-Nintendo games, I don't even know why there's other...
I know nothing else.
Is there
about
any
it.
Other games that you want to bring up, Ray? No,
we touched base on the Mario Maker, and that was really
the big
one. I like. Oh, thank you. The Amiibos, or whatever they're called. Yes.
Amiibos.
Well, you know, it's funny. I remember seeing the teaser for that, and the thing that impressed me the most. Now, I am a fan of Skylanders. I have up to Giants. I haven't got a squad for it. I haven't done Disney Infinity yet because I'm not a fan of the way characters are only used as certain pawns in the game and not actual characters in actual games.
Right.
That part I don't like. But with the Amiibos, what I think they're doing is the next level, and I think this is what's going to put Nintendo over the top.
Right.
You have a figure. It's not just that character playing in the game. It is your version of the character. Whatever decisions you make, whatever you do with that character, alters that character forever until you erase it.
Right.
So you literally have a Mario 2.0 or a Mario 3.0, and he takes on all the scars and positives and negatives that you've done and puts them in the next game that you play, and that's the best part is, folks, this is multi-game. So you're able to take that guy from Mario Kart 8, pull him out, put him in Smash Brothers, and whatever the other game they decide to do. So this is a very exciting moment. This is what we wanted to see with these figures. If you look at a figure-based game thing, and I'm not a lot, but I love Skylanders for its story. I loved it for the character designs that they had. Wasn't a fan that you couldn't jump, but, you know...
That's what bugs me. That's why I want to play it.
Here's the thing. If you're going to go way back to Gauntlet, for example, you play Gauntlet, you can't jump. You shoot, you defend, and you keep moving.
Right.
And that's what Skylanders is. It's like this kind of 3D, version of Gauntlet, the characters that you put in the game deciding on who you want to use. But this takes it to a new level because not only can you put the character in it, but it's your character.
Right.
And the Amiibo designs, the ones they've shown so far, are amazing.
Yes, they are.
They're absolutely amazing. Even if you didn't have a Wii U, you could collect these things, and they're nice.
Yes.
They're very, very nice little figures.
I'm going to make a prediction.
Okay.
I actually think that Nintendo could beat both Skylanders and Disney.
I would not doubt it.
Because, and here's the simple fact, because it's compatible with more than one game.
Right, that's the key.
I think that because they're making it that way, Nintendo could actually beat both Disney and Skylanders out because kids can play with these with more than one game. And even they said Mario Kart's even compatible with them already.
Yes, they are.
There's already games that are out that are compatible with these.
My prediction is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Here's what I think. Skylanders already had an established base for going on 4 years. So for them, they're very strong. Disney Infinity, strong, but they have a lot to learn. I think their game didn't perform as well as it should have. I think they're trying really hard with the Marvel characters, and I think that's going to help them out. But I think Nintendo is right on the money. They're saying, hey, listen, this isn't just for one game. This is for all our games.
Yeah.
And to be able to say, listen, if I make Mario super mean and super pissed off, I'm going to drop him into my other game, and he's the Terminator of all Marios. That is what I wanted it for.
He's even, and in Smash Brothers, he's even smarter than other computer players.
Right.
And I like that it's almost kind of like an assist trophy.
Yep.
That you can throw him in, like if you're having a hard time beating somebody, throw him in, which one of my friends has already told me, there are no Amiibo figures when we play Smash Brothers.
Yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But so, I just think Nintendo really hit a home run this year with everything they said. I don't think there was really a negative in the bunch. I mean, right. You know, software delays, yada, yada, yada. But
Commander
I think...
Toad.
Yeah, no. Commander Toad, yeah. To me, was another one. Listen, I don't have a Wii U. Most people know that. So I have not had the opportunity to play Super Mario 3D World. I did not know about this whole Toad treasure hunter.
I will have to say, I called it. I called it, and my friends laughed at me. We were sitting down, we were playing the game. We were all trying to beat the game because it just came out.
Right.
And we were playing the Commander Toad levels, and I said, man, this is going to be they're going to make this a game. And my friends were like, yeah, they're not going to make this a game. It's just a mini game. And I'm like, no, they're going to make this game. And then when they announced it, I was like, I told you, I knew it was going to be a game.
I love the fact that Toad kind of looks like an Indiana Jones kind of explorer, kind of. And again, another. If Nintendo has one fault that I hate, again, going back to Stanley, they take characters and I can't, I'm sorry, poor Stanley needs somebody to stand up for him. I'm a fan of Donkey Kong 3. I don't care what anybody says. It's a good game.
It is a good game.
I love the game. In fact, it was on the screen right now. We're up in the temple.
He was just staring at us.
I was watching, wanting to play. But anyway, Toad was another character. He was kind of like, okay, we'll use him in here, we'll use him in there. But they never really highlighted him. They never really used him in the respect that they should have and given him his own platform. And here it is, finally.
Yeah.
We're getting this game, and I think it looks spectacular.
It does.
It's platform, it's puzzle, so it's combining the two. I think it's going to be really well.
I think it's going to be Nintendo's Portal, if you will.
Yes, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on to... There were other companies at E3, right?
Was there?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess there were two other...
Well, I think all of us watching our computer screens at Nintendo.
I think that's
what happened.
Think there were other...
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have a PlayStation, whatever we're up to, and I don't have an Xbox One. We went from 361. That makes no sense at all to me.
Xbox, and then the Xbox.
Yeah, we went from here's our Xbox. Now it spins around in a circle.
Now
we only have one. I don't know what's going on there, Microsoft. But you better, yeah. So yeah, we got other things to talk.
Well,
about.
Let's throw out a couple things. Uncharted 4.
Okay.
I saw the trailer for it.
Yeah.
They announced that the trailer was made entirely of gameplay footage.
That's what I heard.
It looked amazing.
Yep.
And I'm a big fan of Uncharted. I like the Uncharted series.
Right.
I've played all the Uncharted games.
I played a demo. That's where I stand.
I enjoy it. I'm excited to play 4. There's another game that's really popular with people.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if our listeners are excited about it, but I'll go ahead and mention it anyways, because, it's really exciting.
Right,
exciting. Kingdom Hearts. Have you ever heard of this game?
I don't know. I might have a copy of Kingdom Hearts 2. The alcohol is working. No, I can't. I do have a copy of Kingdom Hearts 2, so yes, I have, in fact, heard of the game.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, they announced 2.5 HD Remix, which I will be buying, because I got the first one.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Again, being old, what's the point of remaking this game?
Well, the thing.
I understood Wind Waker.
They do HD Remix. This is the kind of like the director's cut.
Okay, that makes sense. I understand director's
that
cut.
Was,
I have DVD.
Right. This was the director's cut of the game. That was. Only released in Japan.
Right.
And never released in the States, which made a lot of people angry.
What else is new?
Yeah. they decided to bring it out. That's what they did with the first one.
Right.
It's the final mix, and this one's going to be the final mix as well.
Right.
So I'm very excited about it. I can't wait to actually play. The second one is my favorite one, and I'll tell you a story. Okay?
Yes.
A little story.
Yeah.
There is a world in there called Space Paranoids. Have you ever heard of this?
I might have heard of it, in fact, since I'm a big fan of Tron, thanks very much.
And I will have to say, it is because of Kingdom Hearts that I'm a Tron fan.
Really?
Because I grew up young, and...
Most of us did, except for
and,
me.
Tron was already done and gone, pretty much, by the time I was old enough to realize it.
Yeah.
Going back, hearing about Tron, going, I've never seen that movie, and then going back and watching that the movie, wow, you know, it really, and then, you know, afterwards actually playing in the world was really exciting.
You know what's funny? I have Kingdom Hearts 2, and I have yet to get to that part, so I have no idea.
I've really seen it on the
YouTubes. I love that Bruce Boxleitner never reprised his role and came in and did it, and I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
I love the character design of Tron within the game.
And it's the original Tron.
And I love how he glowed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, growing up with Tron, and believe me, I did, you know, you saw him in the movie, and it was great. You always wondered, when we got to a point, we knew we were going to get there eventually, we were going to have polygons and cell shading and whatever to make these games. What would Tron look like in that game?
Right.
And that's where Kingdom Hearts 2 got it right, because that's the way we saw him.
Right.
He was kind of a translucent blue, you know, that's what he would look like in the video game world. So I think they nailed it.
And then they brought back the Tron world in Birth by Sleep with the Legacy.
Did Tron Legacy.
Yeah, which was also really cool, too. I enjoyed that as well.
That movie gave me a headache, I will tell you. Okay, Tron is a new guy. Flynn dies and disappears. He's stuck in a computer for 20 years in his lab. I don't know. It gave me... I mean, Tron was cool. Tron Legacy was a headache. And, hey, listen, it was a good movie. I just didn't get it.
Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Absolutely. I'm glad you did. I'm a big fan of Tron.
So, I mean, there's other things, too, like Little Big Planet 3 that's coming out. And, I've played Little Big Planet. I'm not a huge fan of it. It's a pretty cool game.
Is it like a Mario-type game?
It's like what they're doing with Mario Maker.
Yeah.
You can kind of make your own experience.
Right.
There's kind of a story mode to it, but it's a decent game.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. And then, of course, you know, they teased Kingdom Hearts 3, which... I know it's going to be coming out next year, and to much rejoicing of many, many fans.
And folks, Kirby the Love Bug is going to be in this one. Watch.
If Darkwing Duck is in it, I will crap my
Kirby the Love Bug is going to run over the enemy.
He's
going to drive over.
I think that's pretty much it for our E3 thoughts.
Nothing for Xbox. No Xbox Love.
No.
That's a shame.
I mean, do you know of anything?
Well, I'm more pissed off at Xbox for, you know, the Xbox One, and then all of a sudden now they're saying, okay, now we're going to sell it without the Kinect, and now we're back to Xbox 360 without a Kinect, and, you know, nothing is really, see, that's the thing with me, and you know that. No titles have really piqued my interest enough to spend $500 on a system. I can't see it. I don't get it. I come from a time that, you know, a system costs $149.95. That's what you paid for a system. You know, games varied in price, $20 to $50. It was, you know, that's what it was. And then, you know, we have the, back in the early 90s, we had the Neo Geo come out, and that damn thing was, what, $700. I'm like, who the hell has that kind of money?
Yeah.
No one has that kind of money to.
What was the Atari Lynx, too?
The thing was, the Lynx had a very short lifespan for a lot of reasons. It wasn't really a legitimate Atari console. It was made by Epix. It had a very small screen. I had one, and its battery life was god awful. Like
how bad?
You got like 2 hours on your battery.
Oh yeah,
it was pretty bad. So
how many batteries did it take?
I think it took 8.
Oh really? That's more than
I think
Nomad.
6 or 8. Remember the Lynx came out before the Nomad.
Yeah.
So, you know, technology is very different.
Right.
And, it was a brick. It was very cumbersome. It was not... I mean, the screen was small, but the console was huge.
Right.
So, you know, those are the problems I have with the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 is you're asking us to spend all this money to deliver. I want to see games that I will play. Listen, I'm not into your first-person shooters. I'm not into your drivers. I'm not into that. Give me platformers. Give me something that is tangible.
Right.
I mean, that's
and that,
how it
that's,
is.
That's why I think, out of the three consoles, I think the Wii U actually had a better launch titles than the other games.
Well,
that's why I have a Wii U, is because I really wanted the games. And there's really no games for, and pardon me, folks, but if you're a big Sony or Microsoft fan, but There really is no games I wanted to play for the other
right.
system.
And I want to point out, ladies and gentlemen, we are not putting down Microsoft or Sony in any way, shape, or form. I have an Xbox. I enjoy it. I even have a 360.
And I
love
PS3.
I have a PS2. I love both companies. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just lack of software. When you get to a point where, you know, you're saying, okay, I'm going to buy a system, but there's only four games I'll play on it, there's no point in buying a $500 or $600 or $700 system. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to spend that money.
Well, I guess we could make this part of our last segment.
We will eventually. You know, when we get to that, yeah.
All right. I think that's pretty much all the E3 news that we can cover.
Yep, absolutely. I think we've shoved it down the throat to the point.
Are you comparing us to Mario Brothers?
Okay, Uber Nerd, I'm going to take the reins here.
Oh,
we're at the end of our show. Yes, you should be.
Oh, boy.
We're at the end of our show here, and I thought to myself today, I said, hey, Raygun, we need a new segment. And you know what that segment's called?
What is it called?
The Final Countdown.
Wait, I'm waiting.
There it is. Okay, the music.
All right. There we go.
So here's the Final Countdown. We have 1 minute. We are going to bounce back and forth off of each other, ideas, rants, raves, and otherwise, and let's see who can get caught without having something to say in that
so
1 minute.
It's like a game.
It's like a game you play without the video and the joystick and the trackball. They used to.
Okay, so here's what's going to happen.
1 minute. I don't know. They're all playing Pinochle or something. Okay, so here's what we got. We got 1 minute on my trusty time watch clock. What do they call this thing?
It's called an iPhone.
Oh, crap, I forgot. Okay, so on my iPhone, I have a 1 minute timer. In that minute, we have 1 minute to talk about anything and bounce it back to the other person. Are you ready, sir? I will start. Let's start the final countdown. 1 minute starts right now.
Go!
I'm happy that Pac-Man's in a game, but my friend Stanley's not.
Oh, okay, well, I'm really excited about Poke Park. I talked about it a little earlier. The one thing I want to say, though, is that even though it's a game made by for kids, they really, really, really could add all kinds of things. Leveling up, you know, different stuff like that. Kids understand this. Kids are smart. They know what's, you know, how different games work. Why in the world would you just make a game that's just bare bones? I don't understand. You know, the game was good, but it could have been a lot better, it could have been a little bit deeper, and I think kids still understand.
Okay. At 30 seconds. Good job. All right, so, my rant. Let's see. Not enough classic gaming going on, folks. I'm really kind of tired of this new stuff. We've got to go back to the old stuff. That's my rant. And we're at a minute. That's it. And took up most of that minute, so I really had nothing else to say. But that is the final countdown. I promise these final countdowns will get better as we go on. I promise, as we learn the rules. All right, folks, we are at the end of our show. I want to thank everyone, each and every one of you arcaders, for listening and enjoying our show. And please, please, please comment on the site. Let us know how we're doing. Either you love it, you hate it. Just let us know. I don't care if we suck or not. Just tell us. We will respond. We will actually answer the emails ourselves. We do not have...
What?
Exactly. You have to get on and actually answer emails to our loyal fans. It's that simple.
Okay.
So please, keep commenting. Keep liking our site. Please. You're going to see some huge changes coming up. I'm very, very excited. And again, get checked. Get out there. Hate to end on a serious note, but get out there, get checked. Don't end up like me. But have a great time, folks. And as always, keep playing like it's 1981. And we'll see you the next time here on the Electric Circus with my best buddy, Uber Nerd 527.
And don't forget, folks, you can email us anytime at electriccircuspodcast@gmail.com. We also have the Tales from the Game Grid Facebook page, facebook.com/TalesFromTheGameGrid. And of course, the one main page that you need to go to, arcadearchives.wordpress.com. That's where you can see all the stuff we talked about today. And
honestly, it's the only site you need. I think, honestly, folks, if you would just clear all your pages off your Google Chrome,
and just leave up Arcade Archives. I think that's pretty much all you need.
Awesome.
So, yes.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good talking to you. See you later.
This podcast sponsored by the generous donations from Conglomco. If it exists, we own it. And Splice Industries, making molecular copies of inanimate objects in temporal space since 1981. And by listeners like you. Thank you. This show was produced and edited by What's This Button Do Productions. What's This Button Do?